Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Off and running, hour three here of Sports Talk, live from the Sports Book and Bar at the Beau Rivage Casino and Resort. Just got fed a little chow from the Terrace Cafe. Deuce, I had a steak. It was outstanding. Still not finished with it. You're on this keto plan, right?
Somewhat, yes, that is correct.
Somewhat?
Yeah, since you're getting all in my business.
Okay.
I shared it with you, but yes, that is correct.
Yeah, I'm on the seafood plan, seafood and eat it.
You seafood and eat it. So my partner, he really intrigued me, that being Zach Streif, and he told me that he was working on it, and he was down a few pounds, and I said, you know what? He and his wife were doing it. I said, you know what? Me and my wife are going to try it, too. We're not trying to see which couple can lose the most or anything like that, Bobby. I just want to see any progress from it.
And you're trying to have a few. We have enough bad habits. We need a few healthy habits.
Well,
that's right?
I know Zach, this. Zach has turned me on to a healthy habit, so it's been very hard, Christian, without my Funyuns and without putting any sugar in my coffee. So if I seem a little angry, that's why.
Yeah, a little angry. You're not too angry, dudes, though. You know,
look, all I know is here at the Beau Rivage Casino and Resort, everything that they fed us from the time we've been coming here, it's been outstanding. Everything.
It has been very, very good. And so this is, what, the fifth restaurant? No, I'm talking about restaurant, different one.
Yeah.
That
I think
we've
it's five.
That we've eaten at. And, man, I'm –
home run.
Yeah.
You're speechless.
Yeah, I'm speechless because, I mean, every one of them, it's been something a little different, but it's been very, very good.
Right back to the phones we go. Clinton in Baton Rouge. What's going on, Clinton? You're on Sports Talk on Saints Radio.
Hey, guys. Same thing in McCall. There's one time I love to meet about Drew Brees first, and I'll get to the greatest of all time. I think there's one area that no one can argue about Drew Brees. He is the most accurate passer in NFL history. To me, that's not even a question. Now, when they talk about the greatest of all time, I think it's very difficult to really lump all these eras together because I think there are three eras. The first era being before the merger, the second era being after the merger, and then the third era being the salary cap era. And because I think it's very difficult to compare this day and age with teams of like the Cowboys in the 90s, the 49ers in the 80s, because I remember we played San Fran at times that they had a second, third string offensive lineman that could have started for half the teams in the league. You don't have that kind of depth. You have a much greater turnaround today than you ever did before. So that's why I think it's difficult to really compare.
And that's a great point that you bring up because you look in the 80s and the domination of the 49ers. People don't realize the 49ers and Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, top five. The 49ers had a top five defense. The offense is number one. Their defense is like three or four. With Ronnie Lott, now you wonder?
Ronnie Lott, Haley.
Yeah. Talk about setting up Haley protection. He was that dominant. And Jerry Jones, look, Deuce, on the back end of his career, he goes to Dallas in the 90s. He sacks Jim Kelly three times in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you talk about Haley.
Yeah. Charles Haley. James Madison, he went to school. Not Dolly Madison, James Madison. So he didn't find you wherever you're at.
Yeah, and that's my point. If you look at the Cowboys, they got Jimmy Johnson. They win, two or three Super Bowls. I mean, they got such a solid team already built that Switzer walks in and they win a Super Bowl. I don't think that happens today.
No. Look, especially with the 49ers, when Eddie DeBartolo had deep pockets, didn't care, went out there and spent money on talent before the salary cap era. No, that's a great point, Clinton. Thanks for the phone call, all right?
But the Cowgirls, I'll give it to them. That was a great accomplishment. When you look at coaching staffs, that to go from Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer, the bootlegger's son. Barry Switzer.
Would you agree that they would have won another one if Jerry doesn't run Jimmy Johnson off?
Yeah, yes. That's why Jerry Jones needs to humble himself.
Correct.
And just get out the way.
We do agree there.
Yes. Yeah, let Jimmy Johnson just – listen, that's why you got to check your ego at the door. And hey, you're going to reap the benefits. You're the owner. But Jerry, he wanted to make it work with Jason Garrett now. Listen, Jason Garrett was on the Saints team, was a backup when I was playing. So, listen, can you imagine – that's why Saints fans, who that nation, you ain't got to worry about Sean Payton go to Dallas. Because, man, Sean Payton ain't letting Jerry Jones tell him what to do. He can stay in Yarns. Ain't nobody can tell him what to do. Who that? And that's right. It ain't going to happen. Jerry Jones was to control that coach. That's why the Cowgirls ain't going to win anything.
All right, we'll step away and come back. Seth Emerson covering Georgia football for The Athletic at Seth W. Emerson. Going behind enemy lines, LSU, Georgia, Saturday in Death Valley at 2:30 right here on WWL. All right, welcome back. Sports Talk, Deuce, Bobby, and Christian. Time to go behind enemy lines. Brought to you by Acadian Windows, the official window company of the Houdat Nation, helping us to do so. Number two, Georgia, comes to town to take on LSU in Death Valley. 2:30 kickoff right here on WWL on Saturday. Seth Emerson covers Georgia football for The Athletic. Seth, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
No problem.
How healthy is Georgia right now?
Not as healthy as they were a few days ago. They're banged up on the defensive line. None of them starters, but one of them played a lot. David Marshall was probably their third best defensive lineman. It kind of gets into the one area that LSU could probably exploit Georgia, which is the run defense and defensive line depth, which has kind of been Georgia's one question mark. Not sure I'd call it a weakness yet, but definitely a question mark and exacerbated by the injuries.
Now, Seth, when you look, kind of a generic question, but when you look at the offense and the defense and you look at competition, who they've beaten, now you got to play whoever is on your schedule, but I'm looking at the Dogs, who scored at least 38 points in their four SEC wins. And then I'm looking at ranking, second nationally, allowing only 13 points per game.
So
what does that mean? Explain that to me. Where do you think Georgia's actually at? Because come on, that right there, those numbers, that's dominating football when you're scoring at least 38 and you're only giving up 13.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And they've been running away from teams. They kind of slogged around with Vanderbilt. It was 14-6, and then they kind of turned on the juices. With Tennessee, it was 24-12 into the fourth quarter, and then they pulled away with a couple touchdowns. So they've not quite kind of done what Alabama has done, but they've done almost
right
as much. They haven't really had a close game. They haven't been challenged. And you people have been kind of nitpicking to find
right
errors, and I'm one of them. I'm talking about the run defense, and I think that's where LSU probably needs to attack. But the question is, when push comes to shove, if you get in a close game, can Georgia just kind of score at will, especially with its passing game? And that's something that opponents have to deal with.
Now, Elijah Holyfield, like I know his dad, he'd be on the Falcons sideline, hung out with him, went to his birthday party and all that. Is he truly embraced in Georgia and Atlanta? Man, that's a Holyfield. I mean, is he humble? Just break that down because, listen, Evander Holyfield, I know, loved football. Now, I know he was a boxing, the world champion and all that, but to have a son at that level, he has to really be appreciative of that.
Yeah, he's been at all the games, and it's a neat deal. It's not a totally unique deal. He's not the only Elijah Holyfield, believe it or not. Evander had more than a few kids, and two of the mothers both named their kids Elijah. This Elijah is emerging as a pretty potent guy for them. I mean, it's turned out, I thought going into the year, it was DeAndre Swift definitely the number one. Could Elijah Holyfield or anybody else be the number two? And it's really becoming 1A and 1B. It's the classic thunder and lightning kind of thing where DeAndre Swift is the guy that can kind of score anytime he touches it. He's a more explosive guy, more of the speed guy. Elijah Holyfield's the more between the tackles guy, but they both can do the other things too. Elijah Holyfield can break some runs. So they're not quite Chubb and Michelle. They're not that. But they're still, as a tandem, and the guys they have behind them too, they're still pretty good.
One of the things you talked about was that D-line a little bit, and I know the new D-line coach, Trey Scott, has it's some depth there, but it's been young depth. Do you think that they've been tested enough to be able to go into Tiger Stadium and come away with a victory? And then just tell me the dynamics of Jake Fromm as well as Justin Fields, how they're steady giving Fields more and more snaps or at least series for him to be able to have his effect on a ball game.
Yeah, I mean, as far as their depth, I mean, look, Georgia's recruited so well that they're very deep. I talked to Booger McFarland earlier in the week, and he said he thinks one of the differences here could be that Georgia's like 22-44, 22-50 is better, whereas the first 22 LSU matches up. It is a question mark of when you've got young guys, will they be able to, play in this environment? I think it probably helps Georgia that this isn't a night game. I think Tiger Stadium at night is probably a lot more dangerous than Tiger Stadium in the afternoon, but it's still more dangerous than the South Carolina atmosphere or the Missouri atmosphere they faced in the afternoon. So it's definitely going to be something that tests these young guys and they've got to deal with. As far as the quarterbacks, Fields and Fromm, they really seem to be moving towards some sort of two-quarterback setup, where it's kind of 75% Fromm, 25% Fields, but they're still feeling out how they use Fields because they're not throwing with him very much. He has the ability to throw, but they've done it in isolated cases, but he's run it more than he's thrown. So they're going to have to, at some point, throw the ball with Fields more to keep the defense honest. I don't know if Saturday in Baton Rouge is the time to do it, but I do expect to see both of them. It's just a matter of how much we're going to see Fields.
Short and sweet, Seth Emerson covering Georgia football for The Athletic at Seth W. Emerson on Twitter. Behind enemy lines. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, Seth.
Brought to you by Acadian Windows, the official window company of the Who Dat Nation. Back to the phones we go. And let's see who's been patiently waiting. Don on the West Bank. What's going on, Don? You're on Saints Radio on WWL.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, Don.
Hey, Don, right, what you got?
This is my opinion of why I like to call Drew Brees the greatest of all time. Because I like to know who you was trying to. Drew Brees never throw to a future Hall of Famer or a Hall of Famer. His offensive line.
Great point.
Why he was breaking all the records. Never mention of a Hall of Famer. So when I started saying greatest of all time, who was you trying to? Who was you throwing?
He's talking about skill position.
Well, no, he said
right, skill position.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because look, you look at the record Drew Brees broke, and you look at the other quarterbacks we talking about. They got Hall of Fame players, receivers. Drew Brees never had a Hall of Fame receiver. Good receiver, but not Hall of Fame receiver. So that's why he'll go down in the book for me as the greatest of all time. And I listen to y'all.
Well, I think that speaks volumes. So when you consider who your targets and when you look at it, to break it down. Have we really heard in the NFL Jimmy Graham since he left the Saints? The basketball player turned into a football player. You look, Brees has done all of this with just one all-pro player in the arsenal. Jimmy Graham in 2011, right? Unbelievable. Right up there with Gronkowski. Who's 1-1A? Is Gronkowski or is it Jimmy Graham? Is it Jimmy Graham or Gronkowski? Now, Jimmy Graham gets paid. Jimmy Graham needs to thank his lucky stars. Drew Brees helped him get paid to be a multimillionaire. So he goes to the Seahawks. Then he goes to the Packers. So when you look at that, look, until last year, Drew Brees had done it without a single Pro Bowl receiver. Now, we all know, let me tell you.
Colston was robbed.
No, yeah.
Michael Thomas, though, is going to be.
Because I think Colston is probably the best receiver in NFL history to never make a Pro Bowl.
Absolutely.
And then I think where we're at right now, Michael Thomas.
Yeah, it's just year three. It's too early.
But it's like a different level to meet in Colston.
It usually takes players in particular about 2 years to get on the NFL map. That's when they start making progress.
I think from a Saints perspective, Marcus Colston was great, that Michael Thomas would be greater, if that makes sense. It's both a compliment. And then you look at Mark Ingram. That's a running back. He went as an alternate to the Pro Bowl. So when you look at the weapons, Drew Brees is not like, oh, well, look, it's the whole receiving core. But Drew will tell you, listen, did you hear of Lance Moore when he left the Saints? Did you hear Willie Snead? Now, Willie Snead's going to want to have a good game with the Ravens against the Saints. But I'm just telling you, these players, they love Drew Brees.
Look at Robert Meacham. He's a great example.
Yeah,
he got paid.
He got paid, but he didn't do nothing.
No, he went to San Diego to do anything, had to come back. So listen, these players appreciate Drew Brees. Drew Brees appreciates them. That's the bottom line. But, bottom line, 50-50.
Break, Bobby.
Who has carried who? Drew Brees has carried the receivers instead of the receivers carrying Drew Brees. Amen.
Bobby and Deuce and Christian here. Sportsbook and bar at the Beau Rivage Casino and Resort. Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL. All right, welcome back to Sports Talk. As you can tell, Bobby is still holding court off the air. The Sportsbook and bar in the Beau Rivage Casino and Resort, where you'll find us every Wednesday during the football season. Put these headsets on, Bobby. You got a radio show to do. All right, thanks. Herman and Hammond, what's going on, Herman? You're on WWL.
Christian, Bobby, and Luis, how y'all doing?
Good.
Doing well. How you doing?
What you got?
Okay, before I speak on the LSU, I would like to just say one thing, a few things about the Saints. I want to say congratulations to Drew Brees and the entire Saints team.
Organization,
yes. And I want to say that the owner of the Saints is Ms. Gail Benson.
Yes.
She is the greatest. She is the best owner in the league. She is nice. She is humble. She is beautiful. Tom Benson right now is looking down and smiling upon the Saints organization now for
Amen.
Drew Brees holding the number one passing yards,
record. Yep.
Yeah. And okay, I want to talk about the LSU and Coach Orgeron. They have a chance to get in the playoffs, but what they're going to have to do, they are going to have to not be so conservative on the play call, because on third down and one, they could have went for it to get the first down. And they should have challenged that third.
So wait, on 31, they're going for it. You mean fourth and one? A 31, you're going for it. You're not punting on 31.
Fourth and one, they should have went for it.
Okay.
But on third down, they really actually got it, but they should have challenged the call, and they did not.
That is a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. I don't know who's in the press box helping Coach O. There was two horrendous spots by the officials in the first half against LSU.
Should have been a first down.
Exactly.
Yeah, should have been a first down, or instead of a yard and a half a yard. No, that makes all the difference in the world. And it was like, I don't know who's communicating with Coach O. They got to get a better graduate assistant or somebody up there that's looking. They put me in the press box. I can tell Coach O, throw the damn flag. You got to challenge that
because that was one challenge though.
But Deuce, whatever, they got to use it because I'm telling you that was critical in the first half. That there was two bad spots. I think it's a damn Florida official. They must be from Florida or something.
Here's the other thing though, Bobby. At the home stadium, they don't show them the replay, even in the coach's booth.
That's the freaking problem.
You don't automatically get a replay of that play.
So why wouldn't you get a replay in the booth like we get at home on TV?
You don't automatically get it.
Well, the SEC got to get that right. I mean, come on, it's 2018.
But one other thing, when they play Georgia and Alabama, they're going to have to be aggressive on the play call.
Hey, Herman, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to get back to you. First, we got Saints quarterback Drew Brees. Time for QB to QB. QB to QB brought to you by Go Auto Insurance Company. Save money, drive safely in the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. Saints quarterback Drew Brees. Once again, Drew, congratulations on the on becoming the king of the all-time passing record. And has it sunk in yet that you now hold that record?
No, not really.
Just still a pretty surreal moment from the other night, and just, you know, the preparation all week, you know, really just focusing on trying to get the win and understanding what an important thing it is just within the NFC and just our, you know, for our team, just taking the next step, continuing to improve and all that. But, you know, for everything to just kind of play out the way it did throughout the game and to get the record, you know, the way that we did, and to have the family be a part of it and the fans and Coach Payton and really just the whole sideline, you know, every member of the team, it was just made it really, really special.
Now, Drew, I know you observed this because, you know, when you have that dome field advantage and it just seems like, listen, we love to see you throwing touchdown passes and the offense, you know, to score 30-plus points, whatever it might be. But it just seems like, boy, if we can get to off to a great start defensively, we force a three and out, we go six plays, 64 yards, we get a touchdown, 3 minutes, 13 seconds, and Breeze to Ingram, the screen play, then Ingram plus two, touchdown, all of that. It just seems like the fans are more into it when the defense kicks ass.
Well, I mean, listen, we want to give our fans something to cheer about, right? And obviously the more involved we can get them early, I think it just it creates a really tough situation for the road team, you know? I think if the faster you can get it in their mind that, oh, boy, here we go, you know, that kind of a mindset, just because we jump out to a lead and, you know, the fans are into it and they're getting cranked up and – that's, you know, getting the defense inspired and they're making plays. It just, man, it really gets things going in the right direction.
Drew, outside of the four kneels that you guys had, it would have been over 100-yard rushing, and obviously we know the numbers you put up right there at 350. But from an offensive standpoint, what made everything click? I mean, was it just the offensive line giving you whatever you needed, whether it was time or them opening up lanes, or was it just the preparations and you guys were just truly locked in?
Well, you know, let's rewind. Go back to last year, you know, when we played these guys. Obviously, that was a hard-fought football game. We had to come back in the very end in crazy fashion to win that game. But, you know, throughout that game, you know, we really didn't run the ball that well. And then, you know, we didn't really make many plays in the passing game until those two-minute drives. So I think coming into it, we felt like, you know, we can run the ball a lot better than we did last year. And we did it with just some, I think, some better schemes. And I think we just really had a great plan going into it with the run game. As far as the pass game went, you know, listen, that defense was only giving up 14 points a game, and they were leading the league in the fewest amount of big plays being given up. So we felt like, okay, passing game, you know, they play it pretty tight. They really get a good pass rush. So, man, the ball is going to have to come out on time. We're just going to have to take the completions when we get them. And then, man, if we find a matchup or, you know, have the opportunity for a big play, let's make it. And, you know, I think some of the stuff we had schemed up pretty well. You know, we got them to bust a few coverages just with some quick kind of shift movements and then getting the ball snapped. And, you know, that was the play where we broke the record. That was one of those plays. And then we had another one that was kind of a quick hitter that got them out of sorts. But guys were just making plays. You know, I felt like we were just playing faster than them. O-line did a phenomenal job in both phases, run and pass. And I just felt like we had the momentum. You know, we grabbed the momentum. We played with great tempo. And I think it just kept them on their heels the whole game.
Drew, we know Ted Ginn Jr. was dealing with the knee injury, so it allowed Traquan Smith to be involved a little more from an offensive standpoint. Are there certain things, and I know Sean has talked about this, but are there certain things that you guys can do to try to continue to get him involved? And also, Dan Arnold got his first opportunity to be up with the 46. You know, what are some of the things that you saw him be able to do from an offensive standpoint?
Yeah, well, you know, Traquan obviously had a great training camp, you know, and, you know, so much of the focus, I think, early on in the season has been, you know, on Mike and Alvin and Teddy and the tight ends. And so I think we, as a you know, an offense, you know, after that Atlanta game, I think felt like, all right, you know, we've got some receivers here that we can really, you know, start giving some opportunities to, and let's continue to develop them. And man, they can be a big part of this offense as we continue to evolve and progress through the season. And certainly Traquan was one of those guys, especially coming off the camp that he did, you know? So I think it was just a matter of incorporating him into the offense, giving him, you know, kind of a package of things to do. And then obviously with Ted going down, that really put him in the starting role. And so not only did he have his plays, but then he also was kind of filling the role of Ted. So he did a great job, obviously had a big night. Dan Arnold, I think we can continue to build things in the package for him as well. You know, he's got a lot of talent, you know, as running routes and getting downfield. And, you know, the more time on task that I get with him, the better off we'll be. And also I think it helps the other two tight ends as well, just because, you know, I think a lot of teams carry three tight ends into a game, you know, typically just because, you know, and we're a team that uses the tight ends a lot. So obviously right. That's a way to help keep Josh and Ben fresh and doing what they do best.
Now, Drew, explain, because the fans, they love you, obviously. But you look at the whole process, and Monday Night Football is always special. That's old school. But just explain to the fans maybe what was the mindset. It's Sunday night, you're trying to go to bed, and you know the task at hand, and you got a long day on Monday till you play the game. And to have the kind of production or the game that you had, come on, a Hollywood script. It's like you can't write this stuff. You think that was like fake news, whatever. You go 26 or 29, 363 yards. You basically almost have a perfect quarterback rating. And then when you break the record, it all coincides how they want to handle commercials on national TV. I mean, was it like surreal or what? It seems like it was like, this is too good to be true, how it unfolded.
Yeah, you know, listen, when I looked at the schedule at the start of the year and saw that we were playing Week 5 Monday Night Football at home against Washington, you know, I know the NFL, they're no dummies. You know, they schedule that game that week for a reason. And so it's like, all right, no pressure, you know, just take it one at a time. And, you know, hopefully we're in a position to you know, set that record when that game comes around. And sure enough, here we are going into the week, 201 yards needed, which, listen, going back to last year's game against these guys, I don't think we were above 200 yards passing until we got into the fourth quarter and we started getting in this
minute
drive. So it's not like it's just a guarantee, you know? I mean,
right.
You got to go out and you got to produce. And so – there's the pressure of that, but I think also just wondering if and when it does happen, you know, what's going to be the flow of the game? You know, where are we? Are we in a tight game and we're driving down to take the lead and all of a sudden this happens and, you know, they want to stop the game and the flow of momentum and just all that. So there's just all these thoughts running through your mind. And what I tried to do was get rid of all that stuff at the start of the week and just formulate a plan and also just allow myself emotionally to just kind of accept it and also get all those emotions out of my system so that I could go out on Monday and just play ball, just play football, take it one play at a time, focus on just being a great decision maker and executing the offense and just letting all that stuff happen as it would happen, you know. And but to your point, Bobby, man, we couldn't have scripted it any better. I mean, just the way that, you know, I remember when I stepped out there for the 2-minute drive, I knew that we were within striking distance, you know, and I felt like, all right, if all of this yardage that we get in this 2-minute drive is through the air, then we're probably breaking the record. And man, that would be the way to do it, you know, on this 2-minute drive before halftime with a healthy lead. And that way, and then next thing you know, the first play, you know, to Traquan goes the distance. And it's just like, oh my goodness, you know, and that allowed, I think, everyone in the stadium just to really enjoy that moment, you know, and it allowed me to enjoy it, you know, a bit more just with my family and with Sean and with my teammates, you know what I mean? It just, man, it was.
It's like a movie script.
Perfect. Yeah. What's that?
Saints quarterback Drew Brees.
It's like a movie script.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Saints quarterback Drew Brees here on Sports Talk winding down with QB to QB. You shared an embrace with your family, your wife, and your kids, and that was super cool. Do they grasp what you've done, what you've accomplished?
I don't know if any of us do right now. You know, I mean, obviously over the last couple of days, I've gotten so many text messages and emails and seeing people on the street and just everybody, you know, talking about it. And it's like every time I hear it, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, are you sure that happened? You know, like it is still pretty surreal. I think it's funny, man, your kids, you know, they were pretty stoked. You know, the only part they were upset about is they didn't get to take part in the after party. They had to go home and go to bed.
So you all with that bottle of tequila, or are you saving that for the Super Bowl?
Oh, man. The QBs must know me. I got a couple bottles of tequila, which is nice. But, no, listen, it was – I had a chance to spend time with family and friends afterward, and especially some people who have been really influential in my career and my life and great mentors to me. And, you know, I really felt at peace, and I felt like I had great – I just felt like I had so many people watching over me for that game. You know, I had the power of the Holy Spirit in my heart. I had my mother and my grandfather watching from heaven. I had – you know, some of my greatest mentors in my life, my career, in the stadium that night. And I just felt everybody's strength. And I felt like I was able to go out, and what was meant to be was meant to be. And I was just going to play ball. And it all unfolded the way it was supposed to.
Amen. Who that?
Drew, I had a question for you, but I'm going to leave it alone after that one, man.
Oh, yeah.
I had a question for you, but don't even worry about it.
Enjoy
your bye week. Don't listen to Bobby. Enjoy your bye week.
No, Drew, your wife tells you, okay, tell your kids you got to go to bed. Time to go to bed. And you, Brittany's telling you, Drew, take out the trash. That's the real world.
That's right. Hey, but trash day was on Wednesday, so we were good.
Yeah, right.
Saints quarterback Drew Brees, an NFL all-time passing yardage leader right here. Once again, congratulations, Drew.
Drew Brees!
QB to QB brought to you by Go Auto Insurance Company. Save money, drive safely in the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. So big thanks to Dominic Mitchum, our on-site engineer, Mark Menard at Master Control, Stephen Geller producing the show as well, Chef Christian here at the Beau Rivage Casino and Resort, Mary Cracchiolo of Spain here at the Sportsbook as well, and our executive producer, Diane Newman. Thanks for the fans at the Houdat Nation that came out here. We'll be here every Wednesday night during the football season. For Deuce McAllister, I'm Christian Garrick, Semper Fi. Bobby, do your thing, man.
Bon the wee, les gens. Good night, people. Hoot it!
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.